This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, something that came out of the news about Jacksonville, Florida, and Houston, Texas during recent hurricanes was the term called flooding. We had no idea the flooding that would take place actually in both cities, and yet flooding is what I talk about at the beginning of the message as we continue our series from the book of Jeremiah. God bless you as you listen to this 10th message from the book of Jeremiah.
As people will tell you that when a city has been inundated with water, there's a flood on two levels. There's a flood on the surface, but there's also a flood that goes under the ground in the infrastructure where all the underground utilities are and conduits, and the infrastructure underneath the streets is flooded with water. And most people don't realize that. They think of the water on the surface of the ground, but there's a flood also underneath. And you say, why are you talking about floods like that? Well, your life's like that, and so is mine. Every single one of us has what I call an outer countenance or outer being that we come in contact with people all the time, and that's what you smile with and you greet people. And people see that outer countenance of your life. But the Bible refers to something called your heart, not the physical organ that pumps the blood through your body, but that which represents you, and I'll define what that means in a minute. And here's what the Bible, in the passage we study today, says about your heart. The heart is deceptive above all things. Do you know what that means? You and I have been deceived by our own hearts. You and I have been conned by our own hearts, and we have found ourselves thinking and doing and saying things we thought we never would, but we did. Because we sometimes don't realize the capacity that we have to do that which is wrong. And we'll talk about that today as we continue our series in the book of Jeremiah. Today we're talking about heartache, the heartache of the worst kind that comes from sin in my life and in your life. Jeremiah 17, exactly where we were last week. We left off with verse 9. It says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. And then if you'll go to chapter 24, verse 7, an easy way to remember this verse from now on is just remember the phrase you use all the time, 24-7. I want you to remember Jeremiah 24-7. The Lord is speaking and he says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. In high school, I was on the debate team. I was not an athlete. I was allergic to pain, and so I joined the debate team. Some of you will get that later. But I did not participate in athletics at all. And one of the things you did on the debate team, when you were on the affirmative side, you were debating for a proposition, the first speaker who got up was given the task of defining terms. You had to be the one to say, here's what we mean by whatever the term was in that debate topic. And I want to define a term today called your heart. When I speak, or when the Bible speaks of your heart, it's referring to your inner self, the part of you that thinks, the part of you that feels, the part of you that desires, the part of you that decides. That's what it means when you read the word heart in the Bible, the part of you that feels, thinks, desires, and decides. And you know what? One author says this: it's the part of you that God turns to through his Holy Spirit. It's the part of you that God turns to when he wants to deal with you and he wants to deal with me. When I speak, or when the Bible speaks of your heart, it's referring to your inner self, the part of you that thinks, the part of you that feels, the part of you that desires, the part of you that decides. That's what it means when you read the word heart in the Bible. And you know what? One author says this: it's the part of you that God turns to through his Holy Spirit. It's the part of you that God turns to when he wants to deal with you and he wants to deal with me. And I want us to bring up verse 9 again. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Do you know why you've been conned by your heart and you have been deceived by your own heart for this reason? And it may have happened this week. It may have happened this month, this year. There have been times in your life when you have said things to people, you said, I thought I would never say that. I thought I would never use those words, but you did, or I did. There have been times in your life when you have done things and you said, I would never do that, but you did it. There have been times in your life when you said, I would never think of doing that, but you did think of doing it. We all have done that. There are things that we've said, there are things that we've done, and there are things that we think of. And that's why Jeremiah says the heart is deceptive above all things and it's beyond cure. Who can understand it? Now, what does that mean? Who can understand it? You and I cannot understand our own hearts. We don't have everything figured out. Do you have anyone you know in your circle that says this all the time? Here's a regular phrase. Well, I'll tell you what his problem is. Well, you know her, I know what her problem is, and we can spell out everyone's problems when we can't even spell out our own. You and I can't even spell out our own hang-ups and problems and debacles that we go through in life, and yet we talk about, well, I'll tell you what his problem is, and I'll tell you what her problem is. We don't even know what our problems are. Patrick Morley wrote a book called I Surrender, and he said this, most of us have heard that the Christian is not to live by his feelings. He says that's true. The emotional man or woman is not to be trusted. But he said, I would propose that's equally true that the Christian is not to depend upon their rational knowledge. The rational man or woman cannot be trusted any more than the emotional man or woman. Merely look at the terrible decisions we all make. He says this, have you ever made a rational decision? You thought it through, but it turned out to be a big mistake? Sure you have, and so have I. Have you ever made what you thought was a legitimate, well-thought-out decision only to find out it was one of the biggest mistakes of your life? Are you honest enough to admit it, he says. We can't trust our rational knowledge. We can't trust our emotions. And he says this, nothing is easier than self-deceit. Our best thinking can end in disaster. Our best thinking can end in disaster. I know it's a dramatic illustration, but I don't know how many of you remember a plane crash years ago of an Air Florida jet. I think it was Air Florida 90 that was crashed in Washington, D.C. Remember, it was the dead of winter, took off from Washington Airport, and they rescued people. And you can still picture in your mind, perhaps, the video of the flight attendant being pulled out of the water with one arm hanging on to a life preserver as a helicopter rescues her out of the water. And you know what was interesting to me after it was all over and the NTSB did their investigation, they found out that there was self-deception going on in the cockpit. Get this, the pilots were believing things they shouldn't have believed and they weren't believing things they should have believed. What a description. There was deception going on in the cockpit. They weren't believing information they should have believed. And they were believing things they shouldn't have, and so forth. You get the point. You know what? That happens not only in an airplane crash. It happens in a crash of somebody's life. And you know what was interesting to me after it was all over and the NTSB did their investigation? They found out that there was self-deception going on in the cockpit. Get this, the pilots were believing things they shouldn't have believed and they weren't believing things they should have believed. What a description. There was deception going on in the cockpit. They weren't believing information they should have believed and they were believing things they shouldn't have and so forth. You get the point. You know what? That happens not only in an airplane crash. It happens in a crash of somebody's life where we believe things we shouldn't and we don't believe the things that we should believe. And I think down deep, we all know that that's true. Verse 10 of chapter 17 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. You know what's interesting about that verse? It's contradictory. I don't know if you caught it. There's a little irony there. The Lord says, I search the heart and mind so that I can reward a man according to his conduct. He's talking about thinking and then conduct. Tell me how you think and I'll tell you how you live. It's not a conflict at all. It's not a contradiction. The Lord knew that if he examined your heart and my heart, examined your mind and my mind, he can tell you what we're going to do or what we've done, because our behavior simply reflects the way we're thinking. Recently, I went through one book of the Bible, Psalms, to find out every single usage of the word heart. In other words, I didn't have time to go through the whole Bible, but I just took the book of Psalms, 150 chapters, and I wanted to know every usage of the word heart. These are just a few of what I found. Psalm speaks of the cravings of the heart. Not just the good cravings, but the lustful cravings of the heart. Psalm speaks of the sorrow of the heart. You ever gone through sorrow? It's part of the legitimate function of your heart. Psalm speaks of unbelief of the heart, the trouble of the heart, the anguish of the heart, the failing of the heart. I found this phrase interesting. The heart is a place that can gather slander. I said this in the first two services, and some people talked about it to me later. They said, I'd never thought about it before. Slander in the Bible is different than the legal definition that the state of Ohio or the state of Indiana or the state of Kentucky gives to slander. The biblical definition of slander is speech that injures. Listen to that again. The biblical definition of slander is speech that injures. As painful as it may be to think about this, what that means is there are husbands in all three services today who have slandered their wives this week. It means there are wives in this room sometime this week, this month, this year, have slandered their husbands, speech that injures. It means parents slander their children, speech that injures. It means children slander their parents, speech that injures. And isn't it interesting? The Bible in Psalms says the heart is a place that can gather slander. It means your heart can become full of hateful things about another person. You may never express those feelings outwardly, but those feelings mark your heart. They become a part of you. Psalm speaks of the secrets of the heart, that war is in the heart, injustice is in the heart, the cunning of the heart. I found this interesting. I can cherish sin in my heart. What an interesting use of the word cherish. What do we cherish? Things we love. You have an object that your grandfather gave your grandmother, and you say, I cherish this vase, I cherish this item, whatever it is. And we can cherish sin in our heart, according to Psalms. Psalms talks about the perverse heart, the blighted heart, and the wounded heart. The older I get, the more I realize I come in contact with wounded people every day.
Well, we'll continue these descriptions of the heart tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Psalms talks about the perverse heart, the blighted heart, and the wounded heart. The older I get, the more I realize I come in contact with wounded people every day. I may be wrong in this, but I have a theory that if you're over 30, you probably have been wounded. And I'm talking about a deep wound, where somebody's hurt you deeply. And so people have wounded hearts. Most people have wounded hearts. We come to church every Sunday with wounded hearts. Wounded by another person, wounded by a loved one, wounded by people close to you. The Bible in Psalms speaks of a dismayed heart, a proud heart. And get this, we can have a heart that is drawn to that which is evil. Have you ever thought about your heart as being something that's drawn to evil? When you read a newspaper, what do you instinctively go for? What draws your eye? You're watching TV, what instinctively are you drawn to? We all have hearts that are drawn to that which is evil to one degree or another. And then Jeremiah comes along and says, the heart is deceitful above all things, meaning you can't predict your behavior 100% because you can't predict your heart 100%. Pride comes before a fall. Don't ever say, well, I would never do that, I would never say that, and I would never think that. Well, it happens in every person's life where we do say things we would never say. And we do things that we would never do. And we do think things that we would never think. I want to share a powerful story with you that illustrates this, told by J. Allen Peterson. Wrote a book called The Myth of the Greener Grass. It's a book that frankly deals with the subject of affairs and adultery. In it, he tells this story. He said he was speaking in a distant city, not where he lived, and he was sick. He had to go to a find a doctor, and someone recommended a physician. And he was in the physician's office undergoing an examination. He said the doctor was professionally trained, bright, and exuding confidence until the doctor asked him a simple question. "Mr. Peterson, what kind of work do you do?" "When I told him that I write books and speak on marriage and the family, that I'm a family counselor, the whole atmosphere in the office changed. He became quiet, subdued, and began unloading his cargo of regrets. Suddenly, the patient became the doctor, and the doctor became the patient," he said. He said, "Mr. Peterson, I wish I would have met someone like you before my divorce. I should have worked harder at keeping our marriage together. I had no idea what I was doing, and I had no idea that what I was doing was harming our two teenage daughters. Guilt, remorse, loss, failure, sagging self-esteem. He had bought the lore and the lie of the greener grass and the modern fantasy that divorce is no big deal. But the loneliness and estrangement was telling him another story." Then J. Allen Peterson says this, "I wonder, why do we wait till we're neck deep in trouble and damaged before we realize we need help? Why do we wait until we are neck deep in trouble and damaged before we realize that we need help?" What happened to this doctor that J. Allen Peterson talks about? His heart had conned him into believing something that wasn't true. His heart had convinced him that he could rationalize things that were wrong and there was no big price to pay. And he found out the heart is deceitful above all things. It is beyond cure. What's my point? That could be happening to somebody who's here right now. Third service today. Somebody whose heart is deceiving you, and you know it's been going on this week and this month. Your heart has been playing a con job on you mentally and spiritually and emotionally.
Well, there's good news about your heart in this message, and we'll begin tomorrow's message by sharing that thought. The good news that you need to hear if you've been listening today and this week. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Cross Hope. And you need to know there's good news in this passage. It's in the 24th chapter, the 7th verse, if we can bring that up. The last verse we read, it says this, "I will give them a heart to know me," God says. I love that. "That I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart." I want to close with a story that kind of capsulizes this whole idea of our capacity to do things that are wrong, and we need to know it. Most of you are familiar with Rick Warren, who preaches out in California. He wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Probably more people have read that book than any other Christian book out there, and I really mean that. But you don't hear much about Kay Warren. That's Rick's wife. She wrote an article with this title. What a great title, The Only Hope for Monsters. The Only Hope for Monsters, an article in Christianity Today. She writes about being in Rwanda in Africa. "The first time I visited Rwanda, I went looking for monsters, albeit a different category of monster, not the kind relegated to B-movies. I had heard about the genocide that had left 1 million people dead in Rwanda, tortured and viciously murdered, and somehow I thought it would be easy to spot the perpetrators. I naively assumed that I would be able to look men and women in the eyes in Rwanda and tell if they had been involved. I was so full of self-righteous judgment. What I found left me puzzled, confused, and ultimately frightened. Instead of finding leering, menacing creatures, I met men and women who looked and behaved a lot like me. They took care of their families, went to work, chatted with their neighbors, laughed, cried, prayed, and went to church. Where were the monsters? Where were the evildoers capable of murdering 1 million people? Slowly, with a deepening sense of dread, I understood the truth. There were no monsters in Rwanda, just people like you and me. Before that trip, I can't tell you the number of times I reacted to evil that I read about or witnessed by saying, I would never do that. I would never do that. But thousands of years of bloody human history proved differently. 54 years of my own history proved differently. We're all proficient in our ability to conceive, plan, and execute evil. Of course, we don't call it evil when we're the ones doing it. Isn't that interesting? We don't call it evil when we're the ones doing it.
But it is. As one writer observed, there's hardly a man or woman clever enough to recognize the full extent of the evil they do. Listen to that again. There is hardly a man or woman clever enough to recognize the full extent of the evil they do. You might as well face the shameful truth that you and I, put in the right situation, can do things we would never do. We would say things we would never say in the right situation. We would think things we would never think given the right circumstances. She says this, "I'm capable of any sin. I've grown more afraid of the monster lurking in the dark corners of my soul than the monster, any monster lurking in the dark corners of my house. I've grown more afraid of the monster lurking in the dark corners of my soul than any monster lurking in the dark corners of my house." What's the message today? Simply this. Jeremiah says the heart's deceitful above all things. You can't trust your own heart. You can't trust your own heart ultimately. You have to trust Christ. And the answer is not to say, "God, change me. Help me to be a better man, a better husband, a better wife, a better mother, to be a better person." We need to say, "Lord, give me a new heart, because you are the one who can do it."
Well, my friend, is it your prayer today that God give you a new heart? You've been praying for change for years. What you need is a new heart. He can do it. He's God. Our website is crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.